We're dealing with a very serious study tonight, evolution and the Christian home. And I'm truly humbled that I've been asked to speak upon this subject. Some men who I believe are better qualified, but who I have studied under, and I was telling Joe, I guess it's time in one sense that they know that we have to pass the mantle on in some regards. And those of you who have known Brother Bert Thompson and Wayne Jackson know that these men have studied in this area for a long period of time, and I highly respect their work, and I'll be doing some quoting from them in our study tonight. But each of us have an obligation to look beyond Brother Thompson, Brother Warren, Brother Deaver, Brother Jackson, Brother Major, Brother Bromley, all these men who may have studied in that area. And we each, as Peter has said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, must be ready to give an answer, literally a defense of the reason of hope that is in us with meekness and fear. Each one of us will need to be able to answer to the atheist, to the evolutionist, why I know that there is a God. Why I know that when God says he created the earth in six literal days and everything that is in it, that he did that. It did not take some eon, some vast amount of time that we cannot number. And we have no need to be afraid. We have no need to be running and hiding. We have the evidence. We have the ammunition. And we must stand and fight as the army of God. In Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6, the writer of Proverbs said, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield of them that puts their trust in thee. Add not to his words, as he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." To the testimony and to the law. God has given us the evidence that we need to show that what he has said did happen. And for us to show that the evolutionist is not true. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, Paul has said, "Prove or apply the metallurgical test to all things. Hold fast to that which is good." Some of you might say, well, how is evolution a threat to the home? It's not affecting me. You may not see it directly right now. But as we show some things on the overhead and point out some ways in which it is happening, you're going to see how it's affecting you and how it has already and will continue to affect you. Where Brother Jay Yeager presented on yesterday about homosexuality is an outgrowth of this whole neo-Darwinism movement. And because of a failure to hold God in respect, Romans 1 verse 28, we have a number of offshoots in this area. Remember the principle that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7 verse 17? That even that we recognize that only good fruit can come from a good tree, even so bad fruit comes from a bad tree. Evolution is a bad, a wicked, a vile tree. And only wicked or evil can come from its fruit. John Huxley, Julian Huxley, who was called Darwin's bulldog, once said that Darwinism removed the whole idea of God as the creator of organisms from the sphere of rational discussion. Here's what these people think. They're trying to remove God from the whole spectrum of this discussion. Brother Bert Thompson has well said that, quote, "The fruits of such stupidity have been bitter indeed. And as with so many other false doctrines, the family has been hardest hit in most instances." The home, as God has designed, or we should say the home is God designed, and the home is God ordained. And Satan would have no other joy in life than to destroy that which God has purposed, which he has planned, which he has designed. And Satan is busy trying to do that. The thesis of our lesson tonight, as outlined by Brother Jack and what he wants me to cover, is to discuss the general theory of evolution and point out that it is a direct attack on the home and on the Bible. You want to turn to overlay A. This is from Charles Smith, the former president of the American Association for the Advancement of Atheism. He says, "In the beginning was matter, which begat the amoeba, which begat the worm, which begat the fish, which begat the amphibian, which begat the reptile, which begat man, who imagined God. This is the genealogy of man." Well, we see right now where these evolutionists are going. They want to get God out of their very mind. Again, Romans 1, verse 28. Sheet number B, or letter B. Dr. Thomas Huxley says, "The doctrine of evolution, therefore, does not even come into contact with theism, considered as a philosophical doctrine. That with which it collides and with which it is absolutely inconsistent is the conception of creation, which theological speculators have based upon the history narrated in the opening book of Genesis." Huxley further said, quote, "The doctrine of evolution, if consistently accepted, makes it impossible to believe the Bible." I wish John Clayton would accept what these fellows have at least accepted, and that is that you cannot mix the Bible and evolution. And yet we have our brethren in some of these colleges who want to hold to some false concept called theistic evolution. At least Huxley said you cannot mix the two. But do you see what they're attacking? They are attacking God. They are attacking the Bible. And if they do that, if they are successful at that, they will destroy the home. Overlay number one. Let's define this. Let's define evolution. All living matter, as we know it today, had its origin from one primitive source. From this spontaneously produced source, probably originating in the primeval ocean water from combination of existing molecules and atoms, life began, and through eons of time, changes in this life form took place in a progressive manner. From unicellular life came the more complicated invertebrate life, and from this vertebrate life, finally primitive man made his appearance and evolved into human species of today. This is Brother Bert Thompson's definition of the general theory of evolution, providing us how he has studied it with this definition. Further, on sheet number two, Dr. George Gaylord Simpson in the magazine Science, April 1, 1960, said this, that evolution is a fully natural process inherent in the physical properties of the universe by which life arose in the first place and by which all living things, past or present, have since developed divergently and progressively. Well, that's quite interesting. You could always ask the question, whence cometh Eve? If it happened divergently and progressively. And then further, in the book called In Life, An Introduction to Biology, on pages 25 and 26, all living organisms have evolved from common ancestors in a gradual historical process of change and diversification. Get rid of Genesis chapters 1, 2, 3, even 4 through 11. Because according to evolution, it didn't happen when God said it did, but it happened over a long period of time. The theory rejects the notion that all organisms were designed and created at the beginning of time. Brethren, evolution is a very serious problem. In these particular definitions that we've just read, there is no mention of God, no mention of the Bible, no mention of the creating power of the Almighty Jehovah. Because they don't want to have him in their mind. And this is what they want to get across to our children. The psalmist indeed has said in Psalm 14, verse 1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Those individuals who want to hold to evolution, again, I cannot help but keep going back to what Paul said. They do not want to retain the image of God in their minds. In their minds, they want to remove it altogether. At least there are some scientists who are honest enough to say, "I can't accept God." How is evolution promoted? Well, evolution is promoted in that it is taught as quote-unquote fact in a number of our schools. In the public school system, as a whole, evolution is not taught as a theory, but brethren, it is taught as a scientific fact. And that's a lie. It is not even science. One of the cardinal principles of true science is that In order for something to be scientific, it's first observable. You can look at it and see it occurring. Well, evolution cannot be observed. It cannot be falsified. At best, evolution is a hypothesis. It's not even a theory. But because these individuals are in the places of authority, because we've had governments that have allowed the Bible to be pushed aside and have allowed this pseudoscience to be brought to the forefront, we have a Supreme Court that has acknowledged that, yes, this is a so-called science. It's taught as fact. In a 4th to 6th grade class at our congregation, I teach that class. And one of the pieces of material that I happened to be on at the time is Christian Evidences. And I asked some of my students in that class, I said, how many of you have heard of the Big Bang Theory? And I expected only maybe one or two. Every student in my 4th to 6th grade Bible study class raised their hands and said, oh, we've been taught about the Big Bang Theory. And I was surprised. I mean, it caught me off guard. I knew they were teaching it, but it caught me off guard. And they had been taught by their science teachers that this is how it happened. So you know what we started doing? We immediately started looking at, here's what the Bible says about creation. And I exposed the Big Bang Theory and said, here's information you take back to your science teachers and show them why it is not true. The media promotes this. And by the way, the public school system is trying to get this whole theory of evolution not only taught in the science classes, but you look at your children's history textbooks, and it will talk about the age of the earth being millions and millions of years and before this happened, and giving you all of these dates that have no validity whatsoever. The media promotes evolution. There was a commercial that was on TV, and it was about a computer. And it presented supposedly the Neanderthal man and evolving all along. And then finally it brought you up to the IBM PS2 model. And saying, you know, it took eons of time for man to get here, but it only took a short period of time for IBM to make the computer. And there was the gist of it. Man took a long time and he still isn't perfected, but we perfected this particular computer. Do you see what they're trying to get across to you very subtly? And the television programs which individuals watch, which constantly promote evolution. I enjoy watching every once in a while a PBS program called Doctor Who. But one of the things that annoys me with Doctor Who is that it is rank with evolution. And constantly throughout episode after episode of it, Doctor Who talks about the earth and how it was created by evolution and man is finally moving along the evolutionary chain. Then you watch some of these pictures with the dinosaurs and all of this saying this is millions and millions and millions of years ago. Just pushing it into the home gradually, bit by bit. Let's look at slide number 3. In Reader's Digest, almost everyone's heard of Reader's Digest. And one of their books called Facts in Figures, page 96, it starts off with this heading, Our Relatives, the Chimps, ? They may be closer than we thought. Charles Darwin was right. We are related to the great apes. But Darwin and his fellow naturalists were wrong in supposing that the apes are our remote ancestors. In fact, apes and humans are almost brothers and sisters. Now, parents love say, well, you know, go get the books from Reader's Digest because Reader's Digest is really good. And they have it in their libraries. Yet, look at what they're saying. They offer no evidence in the book to support this lie. They give you nothing except it's in there and Charles Darwin must have been right. And so some impressionable child takes that and writes it down on their piece of paper, takes it back to school, and the teacher gives them an A. Daddy and mommy say, oh, my son or daughter has an A on their report card. Let's look at the next sheet. Many of you who are older than I am probably have heard of Steve Allen. That was a joke, you know. Steve Allen, a great comedian, used to be on The Tonight Show and has written over 400 different songs. Well, he thinks he's a book writer also. And he's authored a book called Steve Allen on the Bible, Religion, and Morality. And in that book, as he talks about evolution, he says this. He suggests that it is absurd to deny that living creatures have evolved from primitive life forms because that process is readily observable. Oh, it is, Mr. Allen? Where have you observed evolution taking place? Where have you observed macroevolution, in essence, taking place? We're not talking about microevolution, but we're talking about organic evolution. Where have you observed it taking place? Have you observed a chicken turning into a dog? Have you observed a frog turning into a bird? But this type of stuff is out there. His book is being sold by the thousands upon thousands of copies. He gets on TV and promotes this stuff. And people say, well, Steve Allen, you know, really great. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, something that we need to be aware of, brethren. Evolution is being promoted before our eyes because we have people who do not believe in God, who only believe in themselves, who are humanistic. Paul says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. These people have no love for God. They have no love for the home, no love for the church. Paul says, "How you turn away from such individuals." Well, what are the dangers of evolution? Someone might say, well, how is this affecting the home? One of the dangers of evolution is that it will cause families neither to desire nor tolerate religion. If evolution continues at the being taught at the rate it is, we're going to have more and more families who will not have a taste in their mouth for religion. They won't desire it anymore. And we can see that today. We have homosexuality on the rise. Atheism in our country is on the rise. Agnosticism is on the rise. All of these things are stemming from a constant feeding upon evolutionary thinking, evolutionary doctrine. Julian Huxley once said and taught that the earth was not created, it evolved. So did all the animals and plants that inhabit it, including our human selves, mind and soul, as well as brain and body. And then he ended the quote by saying, so did religion. See, the evolutionist says that, well, there is no God, therefore religion itself evolved. Now think about this. If religion evolved, then it will lead us to the next logical conclusion of atheism. And that's where we've been heading. Evolution has been taught more and more in our society since the early 1900s. And look where America is. Used to be a nation that at least had a reverence of God, where even the politicians at least acknowledged a belief in God. Not anymore. The second danger with evolution to the family is that then the family will try to do away with God's word. We've had great lessons all this week about the importance of having the Word of God at the center of the home. Matthew 6:33. The Word of God directs our path. It's a light unto our feet, as the psalmist says in Psalm 119:105. But if you remove the Word of God, our life is truly dark. Our homes are truly darkened. The family tries to do away with God's Word. It wants to change what God's Word says. To show you how this is the case, we have individuals who are trying to do away with the first 11 chapters of Genesis. People who, when you ask them what do they really believe, you find out, well, I don't really believe the earth was created and mankind was created in the 6 literal days as the Bible says. And therefore, I doubt the validity of the first 11 chapters of Genesis. And they don't stop there, because if you do away with Genesis chapters 1 through 11, where does Abram come from? He just pops on the scene from nowhere? What about the promised seed of Abram? What about our means of eternal salvation? Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. These individuals who do not believe in God, they are tampering with that which is important. They think they have knowledge, but the beginning of knowledge, as Solomon says, is the fear of Jehovah. Isaiah warned us, as he warned Israel in Isaiah 5 verse 20, woe unto them who draw sin as with a cart rope, who try to turn that which is good into that which is evil, with that which is light into that which is dark. And here is what happens to the family when evolution attacks it. That which we know to be good is painted to be bad. Just recently, in the city of West Carrollton, Ohio, which is a south suburb of Dayton, a man came to speak into a high school, to a elementary auditorium class, and he dared mention a three-letter word, G-O-D. And some little girl got up and made a big ruckus. The local news media came out. She was on TV because this man said God in the assembly, and she was so offended. The principal gets on the news and says, I'm very sorry this happened. We normally screen all of our guest speakers to make sure this never happens. And this man will never be back in our auditorium. Simply because he said the word God. It's evil now to say God. It's evil to talk about that which is righteous. God created man in the beginning, and he created woman in the beginning on the sixth day. The sexes did not evolve from some primeval slime that popped out of some muddy water and then tried to figure out what to do. But God created man, as our brethren have so clearly indicated during the week. But you know, the evolutionists also want to get rid of not only that, they want to get rid of Genesis chapter 3. You know why? The fall of man. Man's accountability to the Creator. If they can get rid of Genesis chapter 3, who are you accountable to? You can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want, and you don't have to worry about any God, any Creator holding you in judgment. If the Bible is done away with, question, what kind of family will it leave us with? We wouldn't even know what a family was or what a family is if it was not for Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. The family began with God. He designed it and he regulates it. Sheet number 5, our last overlay. Listen to what Brother Bert Thompson wrote some 12 years ago. And as I was preparing this and I found this tract that Bert wrote, I didn't look at the date at first. I thought it was a new tract. I had not read it before. Brother Thompson authored this in 1981. Adultery, fornication, rape, incest, and other vile, evil things are the logical result of the truth of evolution. This is what happens to the home. The ardent evolutionist and trial lawyer Clarence Darrow once stated, quote, there is no such thing as crime as the word is generally understood. People are in jail generally because they cannot avoid it on account of circumstances which are entirely beyond their control and for which they are in no way responsible. Doesn't that sound like some of our attorneys today? Oh, they can't help why they're in jail. Down in Texas, in Dallas, not too long ago, there was a fellow who shot a police officer. And he tried to use as his excuse that he was listening to some so-called rap music which made him kill this police officer. Well, thank God there was a judge down there who said, hogwash of that. You're taking responsibility for your actions. Yet there are people today who are saying the same thing because they have drunken this wine of evolution and they have imbibed in it and they are so intoxicated by evolution that they're thinking that no one is responsible for their actions. Well, Brother Thompson goes on to say, is it any surprise that bombings, burnings, revolution, crime, and carnage follow in the wake of such a godless and senseless philosophy? Now, that was 12 years ago. And look at where we are today. We have crimes being committed, carjacking, senseless murders and all across the world. And we wonder, why? What is going on? Don't people have a respect for human life anymore? Well, as Brother Guy in Wood said, if you tell a man in essence that he's nothing more than a descendant of an ape, what will he start acting like? He'll start acting like an ape. If you tell him that after death nothing's going to happen, he's not afraid of anything. Well, if they shoot me, what's going to happen to me? I'm just going to go back to the dust. I have no one to be held accountable to because I just evolved. And I haven't yet gone on to a greater state of evolution. Families cannot long stand where there is no respect for God-given law. Parents become tyrants and children delinquents. Regrettably, our courts are starting to feel that way, where parents can no longer discipline in the biblical sense their children. When parents tell children, you can't do this, children are now taking their parents to court and winning. Because we have judges who believe in this evolutionary philosophy. The dehumanization of the family is what happens with evolution. The Darwinian rule of might makes right becomes the rule. And this is what is happening in the home. Do what feels good to you. Hedonism. The results? Abortion. Self-murder. Euthanasia. Homosexuality, genocide. In the last couple of minutes, let me stress a couple of things that we as Christians must do in response to this. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 is the key. Brethren, each of us must sanctify Christ as Lord in our heart and be ready to give a defense. The Greek word there, apologia, give a rational defense of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. Every person who is able to obey the gospel of Christ, you have the biblical obligation to be able to defend what you have obeyed. Everybody, it's not up to me or Jack, but every Christian should be able to defend the faith. Defend at least what you believe, what you understand. We must become soldiers who are set for the defense. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 17. As Jay said, we are in an army. And we need to recognize, brethren, that we're not just sitting on the premises, but we are standing on the promises of God. And Jesus said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We must truly be teachers of our children. Do not leave the education of your children to the public schools. You are the first teachers. I am the first teacher of my child. And I'm not saying homeschooling is the way to go. If you send your children to public school, you be the first teacher. Teach them God's principles. Know what's going on in the classrooms. Become familiar with the tactics of Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Paul says, we're not ignorant of his devices. But brethren, you need to become aware of what is going on. And to that end, I recommend that you study the materials that have been put out by our good brethren. Study the materials that Brother Thompson, Brother Jackson, and others have put out concerning Christian evidences. You may not be able to deal with all the arguments, but there is material out there that can answer the questions. We cannot be afraid to challenge what is being put on the table, just as Daniel refused to imbibe of the king's delicacies. We too must refuse to imbibe of the delicacies, in quotation marks, of evolution. Just because someone says it's a fact doesn't make it so. Say, prove it. Provide the evidence for it. There's a lot of evidence to show that evolution isn't true, brethren. It is high time, brethren, that we take seriously the attack of this anti-God, anti-family movement known as evolution. We must be as Moses was, who told Pharaoh, not one hoof shall be left behind. We must never compromise the word of God, on this matter. Theistic evolution has no room here. We must stand foursquare on the truth of God. Brethren, our children are our stewardship responsibility. And we need to make sure that we are prepared to give an account for how we handle that stewardship responsibility. I pray that God will strengthen us and help us to meet this battle head on.